Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Woo! All right, good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. Beautiful morning dawning. Ah, look at it, it's dark. I mean, it's Where are the days of early June where we'd be here right now? It'd be like just bright sunshine. People would be out playing. Right. You'd have the early tea times out. People out at 5:45 playing some G.
Yeah, well, you know,
winter's coming.
I'd say winter's approaching. I love it, though. I love that. Like, I think maybe fall is my favorite.
I'm ready for fall.
Yeah. I think it may be my favorite time
of year. It's been a great summer.
It has.
Been a hot summer. But I'm ready for some fall. I'm ready for football.
I'm too. Ready. I'm ready to get this deck done, man. This deck is, this thing is amazing.
Really?
Amazing.
Yeah. How long have you had this previous deck?
22 years.
22 years. 22 years. 22 years. Okay. Yeah. And now you're deciding to replace it now.
Yeah.
22 years later.
Yeah.
What was the shape of this this deck? Were you entertaining people on this deck?
No, were family
members on this deck? Were your beautiful grandchildren on this deck? I would assume you probably let fall into a state of disrepair.
Well, it
probably
wasn't
up to code anymore.
It was definitely not up to code, and I have been kind of putting it off because of the price tag associated with it. And it just got to the point where it was like it was one of those things where I was like, if me, my wife, and my granddaughters are all on this deck at the same time, it could collapse.
It could collapse.
So it got to that point, but. You know, my friends at Rocky Mountain Forest Products taking care of me, working with
Cha-ching!
Those guys.
Cha-ching!
I'm working with those guys.
Sure.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
I love it.
So we're cruising, man. It's
all right.
Cool. I'm out there every day doing what I can, which is usually just taking stuff at the trash. That's about my skill set. Anyhow,
good grunt work.
Yeah.
Mark Schlereth, he had the grunt work. Well, it is a Thursday morning. Great to have you here with us after a great Tell Me Why I'm Wrong Wednesday, where we tied our all-time record.
I was thinking about that last night.
The fact that you were thinking about last night means it was a double win.
Yeah, I just got a little caught up in. I got caught up, Mike. I let my guard down. I got caught up. There was a couple of things. One, I think it was PJ. Was it PJ or JP?
JP.
Who gave me he just basically regurgitated what I say all the time on the radio and wanted me to argue it. And I felt like there should have been had not accounted because I should have just said, that's what I have said for 5 years. Good for you, JP, for listening to me. You're correct. But I was trying to, you know, play the game and I got caught up in the excitement. Then you hit me with the devil went down to Georgia and you know I'm not mature enough to handle myself in situations like this. And the next thing I knew, it was a free for all.
It was a
free for all.
Everything was from 7:45 on.
I know. I just like, you get a win. I was like Oprah. You get a win. And, you know, and then I laid down last night and I was like, damn it. I got soft. I got caught up in the moment. It was fun. I was like Oprah handing out wins.
Those beaches will be open for this weekend.
Not going to happen again, people.
No,
I'm getting on my game. I'm
so
not going to happen again.
So you say. Getting on your game. Melvin Gordon was on his game yesterday.
Yeah,
He was at his, I'm not going to say defensive, but he was at his sort of bring it on best, I thought, yesterday.
Sure.
And he talked about that, come on. Everybody, you understand the Broncos management brass. They want Javonte to be the guy. Do you think brass was okay with Melvin Gordon coming out and saying that?
Sure, it's true. I mean, why would they not? Yeah, you're right. We want him to be the guy. There's a lot of players that you want. Hey, they wanted Paxton Lynch to be good. What do you think?
Yeah, why not? We haven't done it in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They wanted him to be good.
Yeah.
Turns out.
It fits.
Turns out he wasn't.
It flows.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of guys over the course of my career that they wanted to be good. They weren't. You know, was there, hey, listen, in Washington with the Hogs, was their overall plan, yeah, let's wait till the 10th round to get to draft a guard and let that, we can't wait till that guy makes the team and becomes a starter. Like, that was never the plan. So, we need a body. Like, that, the plan was we need a body. Oh, by the way, they drafted me as a center. Like, the plans change. They have a plan. It doesn't mean that it's written in stone.
But the fact that he was sort of...
Do you write it in stone?
Write it in ink.
Yeah, but you could put it on a stone tablet.
You could put it on, like, the commandments, yes.
Right.
Chip away at it.
Yeah. Yeah, like back in Fred Flintstone. That's right. So you can write it in stone.
Let's not go crazy with the references, okay?
Oh,
okay, that's over. Not, okay.
Everybody knows Fred Flintstone.
Put the yellow light up every once in a while. But,
was it the caution light?
But there was a little bit passive aggressiveness to it. Like,
sure.
Like, well, everybody knows they want him to be the guy.
Yeah.
Kind of said in that kind of tone. And let me just say right off the bat, I'm fine with it. I love that he's still kind of feisty about it.
Uh-huh.
And you could tell watching his body language as he was talking about it yesterday, whatever you may have heard, but watching him talk about it, you can tell he's as a guy who's been the guy since he's been in high school, through college, through his pro career, to now be in this reduced role, and everybody knows it, and being forced to get up there, not forced, but up there and asked about it, and talking about Javonte Williams being the guy, and come on, you all know that that's the way they want it. There was that kind of defensiveness there, but it speaks, I think, to his, it was almost combative, you know, like, bring it on, I'm here, I'm not going anywhere,
right.
Give me a chance, I'll show you I still have enough in the tank. I'll show you, I might even be your best all-around running back.
Which is fine.
That's fine,
mm-hmm.
But do you see any potential for a problem where, come on, you know, if there's a game where he's only getting 6-7 carries, does it start to become a problem at all?
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to become a problem. As a veteran player, as an older player, and I know that, like you said, he's always been the guy, but you also understand, and you've seen over the course of your career, kind of, quote-unquote, the changing of the guard. And let's face it, you know, if the Chargers are just going to get rid of Phillip Rivers at some point, you know, if, like, you've seen these transitions happen throughout the career. Now, you probably never think it's going to happen to you, but eventually it does. And you can just, you know, go back through the recesses of your mind and go, okay, I've seen it before. I know what it is. All I can do is be ready. And when that opportunity presents itself, I can go out there and you know, quote unquote, ball out of control.
That's where
I think he is.
We understand now that a lot of what Nathaniel Hackett's doing, he's basing on his time with the Packers and Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. Does the Green Bay model give us any clue as to how Hackett will use Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon? That's next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, so the Broncos have two really good running backs, and I agree with what our Broncos senior writer at DenverFan.com, Andrew Mason, said to us last week that, hey, arguably the Broncos have two of the top 16 running backs in the entire NFL. Put them both together and you have arguably the best duo in the entire NFL. So how will they be used? What's the model that Nathaniel Hackett, who freely admits that he's pulling so much from his time in Green Bay, those 3 years with Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, as to how he's influenced by doing things here. Went back and looked over the last 3 years, and really two entirely different models. So I don't know if we really have much we can glean from the Green Bay experience. In 2019, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams were the two running backs, and it was dominated by Aaron Jones. God bless you. Jones outgained him by over 600 yards, 15 more touchdowns. In 2020, it was more of the same. Again, dominated by Aaron Jones. But then last year, with the emergence of A.J. Dillon, it was actually a true partnership. We'll not throw too many numbers at you, but here they are. Dillon, 187 carries, 800 yards, 5 touchdowns. Aaron Jones, 171 carries, 800 yards, and 4 touchdowns. So what model do you think that Nathaniel Hackett will follow here when it comes to using Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon?
Well, I think that you look at the emergence of A.J. Dillon. They really liked A.J. Dillon. They like what he brought. And so you saw a more split, you know, more evenly split. Plus, I think Aaron Jones at times had a couple of nagging injuries over the course of the season. So I think that's why you saw a bigger discrepancy there in the number of, you know, in what used to be a large margin of carries more for an Aaron Jones. And then as things leveled out and he had a couple of nicks and a couple of injuries, I think you saw things being a little bit more evenly distributed. I just think that you're in a situation now where you've got two guys that have an incredible skill set. They're both really good. And I think you're going to see a pretty even match. Like I think that Gordon was right. Melvin Gordon was right that they want Javonte Williams to be the bell cow. They want him to be the guy. And I think you're certainly going to see that, but I think you're going to also see plenty of opportunities for Melvin. And then I've said this before. I think that as I watch practice and as I've been over there, looking at all the different personnel groupings that they want to use, the different situations, Mike, those two backs in the backfield at the same time is a personnel grouping that will cause a defensive coordinator to pull his hair out. Because now you have to make decisions. And as an offensive guy, I always look at it like, if you have to make a decision, if I'm forcing you to say, how am I going to play this? Guess what? I've won. Because no matter what you decide to do, we can counter it. And so now all of a sudden you put in, you know, a what we used to call back in the day, a check with me package, or you can call it, the can it systems. So essentially you say, hey, man, we're going to run this run play. If they play us in base, so we're going to run, you know, 19 handoff. If we play us in base, man, we're going to explode out of that. So can it with. So you go, hey, 19 handoff, you know, strong, blah, 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 can it with, and then the pass that comes with it, and you explode or motion the running back outside the numbers, and if the linebacker goes with him, you're like, oh, my God, we got, like, this is perfect. So it's a great situation to be in, and it gives them options for different packages that are going to cause defenses to have fits.
Can I play a little game with you?
Yeah, please.
I know you love games.
Oh,
you are still a child.
Yes. I do love games. I always have. I have. I'm guilty.
So I just want you to play like the instant gut immediate reaction.
Oh, this is like
word association.
This is like Stinkman Freud.
A little bit.
Yeah, it is. What is it? The Rorschach test or what? Is that what it
yes,
is?
Yes, exactly.
Right? Where you exactly. Send me a blob of ink and I tell you what it reminds me
exactly.
of?
Okay, exactly.
Let me get focused.
Okay.
Okay, I'm ready.
When I give you a scenario, you immediately tell me which running back you think the coaching staff wants in that situation.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Jamal!
Oh, wait. I got to wait for the question. I got antsy. Okay.
3rd and 7, and you know a blitz is coming up the middle.
I'm going to go with Melvin.
Okay. 1st and goal at the 10.
Ooh. Probably, I know this is going to go against what you think. You think I'm going to say Melvin because he's been such a touchdown hog.
Nope.
I'm going Javonte.
Okay.
Williams.
I had a feeling you'd say that. Okay. 3rd and goal at the 3.
I'm going to go Melvin.
All right. Okay. I'm not surprised by those answers. But It speaks to how even though Javonte Williams might be the guy, Javonte Williams was the guy that George Payton traded up for to be his Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
Just like in Minnesota. And yet I just gave you a couple of crucial situations where you think the coach's preference is Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, I think when, like, I'll go back to his Charger days. Like, Melvin was so dialed in to protection with Phillip Rivers and Phillip Rivers changing plays. And I don't like how the Chargers did it back in the day. It drives me crazy. A lot of teams do this. They put it 100% on the quarterback. So the quarterback is constantly changing the protections and stuff. That makes it really hard up front to have the proper communication. So,
wow, you had something, problem with the Chargers, huh?
Aggravates the stew out of me.
But I don't like the way they do
Charger
it.
Charger gonna charger.
Yeah, but a lot of teams do it that way. They give all that responsibility to the quarterback. The problem with the quarterbacks is they'll change the direction of the slide, or they'll change the point of the mic, and then they'll snap the ball without letting you communicate it up front. And it's really a problem. And then the quarterback gets hit, and everybody goes, "This offensive line sucks." No, that quarterback sucks. So I'm just letting you know some of the things that bother me.
you know how to bother you, right?
You know how to get me right.
Well over, yeah,
yeah.
Landscaping company.
Yeah, that.
Tell me why I'm wrong, and offensive line getting blamed for all the sacks.
Right, quarterbacks calling their own protections, getting themselves sacked because they're not that bright.
Coming up, we got the morning brew for you. We'll hear more from Nathaniel Hackett and Melvin Gordon. And the Nuggets schedule was released. There's some things to really love, and there's some things to be worried about. Tell you what they are next.
It's time for your morning brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Pure energy.
Yeah, I mean, the guys that we have here are doing a great job. I mean, our young guys are really stepping up. You know, we have a lot of receivers. I think we still have 11 guys. And there's a lot of guys that we're dependent on to keep stepping up every day. And we're excited for their opportunity.
If there was one thing that really came out of that preseason opener was the performance of these young receivers and the feeling that, hey, there might be something to develop with the Brandon Johnsons, the Jalen Virgils, and the Seth Williamses of the world, Kendall Hinton and all that. Mark, is Jerry Jeudy an automatic lock in this offense like so many of us believe, or is he fighting for playing time?
Jeudy!
Oh, no, I think he's fighting for his playing time. I think there's a lot of things about Jerry Jeudy that he needs to come to grips with about the way he plays the game. And listen, I'm not saying that he's not going to be a starter, but I am saying that I'm not sure, based upon everything that I've studied, I'm not sure that he's the breakout star people think he's going to be. You know, you listen to all these fantasy football experts, and oh, now that Jeudy has a quarterback, yeah, Jeudy is going to be this breakout fantasy star.
Jeudy!
I'd pump my brakes on that. I think there's other guys going to get opportunities, and I think Jerry Judy's going to be asked to play multiple positions. Can he handle that? Can he do it? Can he do it well? Can you hone your skills? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but my gut and this film that I've studied says he needs to get a whole lot better.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Man, I think, to be honest, I think they kind of have a plan of what they want kind of heading in. But as far as the rotation go, I really don't know. I think they want Vontae probably to be the guy, you know, but we do rotate. He'll take the first series, and then the second series with the ones I'll take. Sometimes we switch, but, you know, it's just, you know, you kind of know what it is if you've been out here.
Melvin Gordon. I like it. I like the fact that he's doing it with a smile, but it's kind of their gritted teeth. You know, he's smiling, but it's like their gritted teeth, you know, as he's saying those kind of things. And I love the fact that he still views himself as, give me the chance, I can be the guy. And I think that's great. I love the idea of competition. I love the idea of them pushing each other. Ultimately, how do you think it'll break down? If Nathaniel Hackett puts together his ultimate dream game plan. How are the carries divvied up?
The carries are going to be divvied up. Like, let's say that Nathaniel Hackett is going to try to get 24 carries a game.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah, what, maybe, yeah, but 35 passes, 24 carries?
Yeah, which
that
is,
kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, the average game is usually...
Maybe a little bit more. Give me 30, normally what, 65 plays or
about
a run?
65 plays.
65, all right, so let's go 35 passes, 30 runs. 30 runs.
30 runs, a lot of runs in today's game, but all right, let's just play your game.
Yeah.
30 runs.
Play my game.
Yeah, we're going to play your game.
My rules.
It's going to be 18 carries to 12 carries. Somewhere in that. I don't know what that is. Like, if it's two-thirds and a third, that might be a little bit less than two-thirds.
Uh-oh.
So now we're going to get into, like, what's less than two-thirds?
Watch out, math. Here comes Stink.
Right.
Math.
Okay, so a half.
Stink rolling down the track.
A half. It's not half.
Chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga.
Is it 5/8?
All right, we're not
would
doing
that
this.
Would that be?
We're not doing this. All right, so basically 60-40. Basically 60-40.
Oh, I like how you did that.
Yeah.
But 60-40 is not two-thirds.
No. 60-40.
What is 60-40?
So basically for every 10 carries...
He gets six. Right. What's the fraction? What is the fraction?
Don't do this to me.
Remember when you got all highfalutin with your math?
Don't do this. And then it was totally wrong. I'm very shaky. My confidence is very shaky,
yeah,
right?
It has been shaken.
It has been shaken to its core.
Yes.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Murray is off the charts right now. Step back three on the way. And he's got another one. Jamal Murray keeps it going here for the Nuggets. Are you kidding me?
Well, Jamal Murray's return, is there some added importance now to him coming back and being ready to go for the start of the season for what we figure to be a competitive division and a competitive Western Conference? Mark, the schedule came out, and the good news is the Nuggets are on national TV a bunch, I think like 16.
Hey, do I owe you a cup of coffee for the Christmas night game?
Yes, you do. Yep, I was going to get to that. We'll get to that. We'll clean that up here in a little bit.
Yeah.
But 13 of the first 19 are on the road.
13 of the first 19 on the road?
13 of the first 19 on the road.
Good.
Is that...
That's good.
Is that good for a team that's trying to work Jamal Murray back in? Michael Porter Jr. back in. Do you like that kind of a schedule, or does that you run the risk of kind of being put behind the eight ball for a while here early in the season?
Well, you could, but I like the schedule in that you're fresh. It's not like it's time for load management, and then you're going to get a bunch of games at home that's going to be good for you. Like so. Hey, man, you're fresh. You're ready to roll. You're excited about the season. That's great. You're on the road a bunch. That's awesome because you're going to come home. And you're going to come home in a time when a bunch of teams are going, hey, we've had all these games so far. Let's start load managementing. Managementing? Let's start that when we get to Denver. Don't you think?
By the way, season ticket holders, you're going to enjoy December. In January.
Why is that?
A lot of home games.
The Christmas Day game is at home, right?
It is. So, well, let's take
just
care
like
of that.
Just like I said, 8:30.
Let's take care of that. So you do owe me a coffee because I insisted that the Nuggets and the Suns would be in that 10:30 Eastern window.
Right.
Because they wouldn't want to put Steph or LeBron there. And you were like, no, you're thinking about just the East Coast audience. What about the West Coast audience? And 7:30, that'd be perfect for Steph. Perfect for LeBron. I'm like, Mark, it's not going to happen. It doesn't happen that way. And you, being in the TV business like you are, should know better. We bet a coffee, I win.
Well, that's because the reports were that they weren't going to do it. And you were like, absolutely not. You were right. But I was just giving you the counter to that.
You owe me a coffee.
No, I do owe you. I owe you a coffee. When you, after we go to Fogo de Chão and get in a meat coma, then we'll go have a cup of coffee and just kind of talk about things. Like, kind of like a father son.
I don't want to get into a meat coma and then go have coffee and try to wake up from the meat coma. I want to I want to live in the Mekoma for a while.
You want to live. You
want
to
live in it.
So when are we going to have that father-son coffee moment?
Next on The Morning Brew.
You know, Herman, six innings, three runs. A lot of times in this day and age, it's a win. Tonight it wasn't. Over the course of the year, it's going to happen, right? There's going to be times when the clutch hitting or the hitting goes a little light, and we're going through that right now.
Going through that right now. You mean the season.
You mean the season.
Right, yeah.
It's not going through it. It's just the season.
Right, right. The clutch, sometimes the clutch hitting isn't there. Sometimes it's not there for years. Decades.
For all the people who are like, get rid of Bud, shake it up. I get it. In any other organization, a guy like Bud Black would have been fired by now. Not because he necessarily deserves it, but just because that's what you do. You shake things up. You bring in a fresh voice, a fresh approach. That's what teams do. But not at Stan Pat and Blake.
That's really good.
I just made that up.
That's really good.
I think that's going to stick.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's Stan, Pat, and Blake. That's what they do. I mean, it's just the status quo.
Yeah.
So Bud ain't going nowhere. Why is Bud going nowhere? Because Bud is the perfect manager for a baseball team where the star is the ballpark and the baseball experience.
Right.
He will not ruffle feathers. He'll put a smiley, calm, polite face, and then those few times when the skipper comes out of the dugout to argue balls and strikes, he'll get everybody fired up because
we're
that's ultimately
try to shorten some necks.
Because that's ultimately why you go to the game,
yeah.
not for them to win, but just to see the skipper pop out of the dugout.
Here at the law firm of Stan, Pat, and Blake, we dig our heels in. Now we don't win jack squat, but our heels are dug in, and we won't budge.
Oh.
You've got our word.
Rockies lose again to the Cardinals in St. Louis.
How's that second half of the season thing going for you?
They still got a chance to be better in the second half than they were in the first half. That's the only thing. That's the only prediction I ever made. They play this morning at 11:15, trying to avoid the sweep at the hand of the Cardinals. Coming up.
Who cares?
Does Russell Wilson need a good running game to be successful? Or can Russ cook on his own? Got the numbers to back it up next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
I wish I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. I wish I had a better voice to sing some better words.
Does Russell Wilson need a above average running game in order to be successful? We got into that conversation yesterday and made note of the fact that in the 2 years that Seattle went to the Super Bowl, won one, lost one, I will not remind people of the one they won, they had a running attack that was third and first in the NFL. So we got to talking about that, got me to thinking, okay, just how dependent is Russ dependent on having a really good running game? Or can he excel? Can Russ cook even without a terrific running game? So I went back and looked at his entire career in Seattle and where Seattle ranked every year in running the football. And just to find out if there was any kind of correlation. The good news is there isn't. There isn't.
Yeah.
That if you look at Russell Wilson's performance, and when you look at Russell Wilson's performance in Seattle, not only his individual numbers, Mark, but the seasons that Seattle had, unbelievably consistent. Just unbelievably rock solid consistent.
Which blows me away when the narrative is, wow, he's really lost
right?
a step, right?
Right.
And there is this false narrative about him with the running game, but I'm looking forward to listening to these numbers because I did a little digging. As well last night into Russell Wilson and the rushing numbers. But go ahead.
All right, so I went back. Now, the first 3 years, they were really reliant on running the football. And he had not yet become that quarterback that could win consistently from the pocket.
Right.
And was not yet putting up the numbers that made him, at the time, be able to join the $30 million a year quarterback club. Those are the first 3 years. That was a real legion of boom, right?
Right.
But as his career developed and he started to put up more numbers, What jumps out at me? 2015, for example. Seattle was third in the league in rushing. He threw 34 touchdowns, only 8 picks. Okay, supports the argument that, hey, give him a really good running game.
Yeah.
He'll put up really good numbers, right? Well, Just 2 years later, in 2017, Seattle was 23rd in running the football, and yet Russ that year was 34 touchdowns and 11 picks.
Mm-hmm.
So he picked up the offense.
Yeah, he picked up the slack of
the lack of
the running game.
Okay. 2018, they were first in the league in rushing, 35 touchdowns, 7 picks. Okay, again, proof right. that if you give him the running game. But then just look at 2 years ago, 2020, his last full season healthy. They were 12th, almost middle of the pack, 12th in the league in rushing.
Right.
Russell Wilson, 40 touchdowns, career high, 40 touchdowns to 13 picks for a team that went 12-4. So if you want your best example of, hey, Russell Wilson can still make your offense hum,
mm-hmm.
even without a great running game, I'll give you 2020.
Okay, and I will go ahead and up 2020 because you're just looking at the rushing totals. Do you know that if you go in their 6-1, they had a 6-1 start, Mike. They went 12-4 that season, 2020. I did the first game of the season in Seattle. I did the Atlanta game in that season. If you look at the numbers, they probably don't have a 100-yard rushing quarter or a 100-yard rushing running back
that year
in 2020.
They did not. I went back and looked at it. They Russell, did not have
I,
one.
I couldn't believe when I went and looked back at it. Russell's rushing numbers were ridiculous. How many times he ran the football over the course of the 2020 season, and so you take his rushing total out. You take Russell's numbers out, and they drop from 12th deep into the 20s.
Yeah, 2020, he ran for over 500 yards.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the numbers every week. It was 6 carries for 50 yards, for 48 yards, for like every single week. It was ridiculous. And so, like, there is a guy that would welcome a great running game because, you know, it makes things easier on you. But if I have to go out there and I got to throw it 36 times, I can do that.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid. And we can still win that way. I think it does support the fact, and I'm not saying you want to let Russ cook because I just don't believe in that philosophically. I will never believe in that. But you can get into those situations where, hey, we're not running it very well today. Russ is going to have to carry us, and he's a guy that can hoist the team on his back and carry them.
Which it does not explain, certainly the commentary coming out of Seattle, but even around parts of the NFL that, yeah, you're getting a quarterback. Denver, don't get so excited because you're getting a quarterback who has plateaued.
Yeah.
And you're right. You point to that 2020 season in which they went 12-4, and yeah, not only did he throw 40 touchdowns, but he was the second leading rusher on the team.
Right.
Chris Carson was the leading rusher with 680 yards.
Right.
680 yards.
Yeah, Russell was right behind.
Russell was second with 513.
Yeah.
Second leading rusher. So he did it all that year.
Yeah.
Did it all.
And he was the lead candidate for the MVP right up toward the end of the season. I think Aaron Rodgers trumped him because Aaron Rodgers, you know, had 40 whatever touchdowns versus 4 interceptions or whatever it was, and they were 13-3 versus 12-4. So you know, the only reason that he got trumped in the MVP voting is because Aaron Rodgers had one of the most miraculous seasons. You know, when it comes to
you, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, when it comes to MVP voting.
I was encouraged by those stats, going back and looking at those numbers.
Good.
Because it shows that, yeah, sure, give him a really good running game and he'll manage it well and he'll play off it well and so, he'll be content. He doesn't have an ego. He'll gladly turn around and hand off.
So basically what I'm getting here is that you're apologizing to me because I was right that you can let Russ cook if you need to in a game. So like we really only gave 3. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Oh,
it wasn't 5.
Yes.
It really wasn't
you're,
5.
You're
this
still,
is what kept me up last
still,
night.
You, yeah,
this
brother,
is what kept me up last night.
You got to let it go.
Or
man.
You could just say, you know what, we're even on the coffee bet.
No, if no,
a,
we're
a
not.
Real,
no.
Let it go.
No,
yeah.
I'm just telling you, a gentleman would realize the error of his ways.
A gentleman.
And say, listen, let's just call it square.
No.
Let's just call
happy,
it
happy, happy, joy, joy. By the way, the 2020 offensive or for the MVP. Yeah, you brought up all those numbers from Russ.
Yeah.
12-4 record, 40 touchdowns. Ran for another 500.
Uh-huh.
Didn't even finish in the top 3.
Well, he didn't even get a vote.
Yeah.
He's
never had an MVP
vote. No, never had an MVP vote.
Which just wow. It just shows that there is a perception of him out there that people just don't embrace.
Yeah.
Cuz you like you said you did that Seattle team, you did a couple games that year, right? I mean, sure. You saw a guy that was carrying that football team.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember exactly how many games I did, but I'm sure I did. At least one or two others.
Well, if they played Arizona, I'm sure you did that game because you were on the Cardinals beat that year.
No, not 2020.
2020?
2020.
You've done a lot of Cardinal games. You've done a lot of Cardinal games over the years.
Oh, yeah, I did.
You've done a lot of Cardinal games.
Now, 2019, if it was 2019, I'd be like, yes.
You show up to do a Cardinal game for Cardinals fans. It's like Bronco fans going, oh, look, Andrew Catalan doing another game.
Right, yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Hey, what, Spiro Didis wasn't available?
Yeah, is that James Worthy?
James Worthy.
I mean, James Lofton.
James Lofton.
Yeah, you know what I meant.
Four down territory coming your way next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.